Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today will be taken from our gospel reading in Luke chapter 21. Without a doubt, life is complicated. You know that from your daily lives. It's also the reason why we have the television shows that we do. So many of those dramas, they just pick up on the complexity of life. And they present to us moral, ethical, relational dilemmas. And once we get caught up and entwined on those things, then it is left to extricate ourselves from them. You know, how do you get out? And that's what draws us into those shows, so that we see how it is that the problems can be solved. But just like with TV, so it is with life. Maybe not to the same degree always, but certainly life is complicated. And you know, the reality is that when you are a disciple of Jesus, when you're a Christian, it's even more complicated. Why? Well, because you understand evil. You see evil and wrongdoing more clearly than others because you know Christ. You know what is good, you know what is right. And knowing that, then, in opposition, evil becomes much more clear. And so there are things that other people do, they don't even think about whether it's right or wrong, they just do them. But you stop and you think twice, maybe even three times, about that. What others do to still other people, you just say, I would never do that. Because you know that it's unkind or it's not right. And you say, well, doesn't that make things easier? You know, you see more clearly. You get rid of the grayscale, in a sense, in between, and it's much more black and white. Doesn't it make life easier? Well, yes, in one sense, because you do understand and see more clearly. But the reality is then that what do you do about that? And that's where it really becomes complicated, right? How do you respond? And what people don't think is a problem, and you do, how do you work through that? And so life is indeed complicated. What's the solution? Well, one solution could be to withdraw. You know, just to draw back, to put your head down and plow ahead, not deal with everything else, put the blinders on, go into hiding, you know, to withdraw from circumstances. And that, in part, is what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Thessalonians in our epistle reading for today, and their idleness. It's somewhat what Jesus is writing about and warns us against in our gospel for today. So Jesus presents to us a very different solution, not to withdraw, but rather to engage. Again, let me take you to that last verse of our gospel reading. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. See, a very different solution, right? Raise your heads, be looking, straighten up, be engaged in this world, as difficult as that may be. For sure, Jesus' response to the disciples' question, and their question was, when they heard that the temple was going to be destroyed, they wanted to know when this was going to happen. What are the signs of these things? And Jesus' response to that, for sure, is a difficult one to hear. And as we read it today, it places before our eyes violence and terrible times. And that usually isn't what we want to hear when we come to church or anywhere else. You know, we just don't want to dwell with those things. And so it's a little bit hard for us to hear them. But the majority of our text for today, at least up until verse 25, was really very specific to the first century. So Jesus' response to his disciples was about their lifetime and the things that they were going to see happen in their country, exactly where they were living. And he started by talking about the destruction of the temple. Not one stone would be left upon another, which was just a devastating thought for these people. You know, this was their place of worship. It was the central place. And it was a magnificent place as well. You know, when this happened, they were up on the Mount of Olives, and there is Mount Zion over here with the temple, and you can actually look down from the Mount of Olives onto the place where the Temple Mount is, and in between there's this Kidron Valley, and it was just a fantastic view. And they're looking out at this, and the sun is shining down on the white limestone, and it's just a beautiful sight. And they're very proud of this place. It was the largest religious building in the world at that time. And for Jesus to say, in your lifetime, not one stone is going to be left upon the other. It was just devastating news for them. So, you know, when is this going to happen? And Jesus goes on then to talk about wars and rumors of wars. Yeah, you know, if you think that there's going to be the destruction of this temple, some things are going to happen in order for that to take place. And so there will be wars. And there will be rumors of wars. The destruction of the temple, the upset of the economy, of society, the loss of lives. Again, a devastating thing for Jesus' disciples to contemplate. But Jesus goes on from there. He says, on top of that, there's going to be persecutions. Yes, you will suffer for my name's sake. You will be arrested. You will be taken before the authorities. You will be made to give answer. And you will be punished many times because of it and abused. Again, hard things to hear. And then Jesus circles back to Jerusalem once again. He says, when you see the armies coming, when you see them beginning to surround Jerusalem, get out of there. Jesus says, it's not going to survive. Don't think for a moment that somehow you are going to be able to withstand those armies. And those were the armies of the Romans. And he says, just leave. If you're in the mountains, stay there. Don't go into the city. If you're in the city, get out as fast as you possibly can. And woe to those who are pregnant or nursing. You know, how difficult it will be for them to leave their homes and be on the run. Again, very difficult things for them and for us to contemplate as well. But then, just like that, Jesus jumps to the end. So he's talking about the first century and the things that are going to happen in their lifetime. And then he jumps to the very end of the world, beginning in verse 25. And kind of what's going on here is typology. And so he's talking about these things that are happening in the first century. But the idea is they are going to be typical of things that will be happening at the end of the world. And so Jesus says, just as you will experience in your lifetime, so at the end of the world, there is going to be upheaval in the heavens and on earth. And things are just, you're going to see at the end that things in the heavens are just not going to be working right. The sun and the moon and the stars, they're going to be off their courses. Things are not going to be acting as they usually do. And the seas are going to be roaring and the waves. You know, Jesus is describing the dissolution of this world, the time when it comes to an end. And again, that will be a distressing and a foreboding time. And we ask, as we hear this, what do we do? What do we do? So for sure, Jesus places a picture of violence in terrible times before our eyes. And we ask, what do we do? Do we look away? Do we withdraw? Do we go into hiding somehow? Well, look again at these words. And you're going to see that throughout all of them, Jesus is also there to give hope. He never abandons his people, but he is always there to give hope. And he calls us to engage in this world in which we live. So again, let me take you back to those events of the first century. Before he begins to enumerate them, Jesus gives two warnings. The first warning is, do not be led astray. There are going to be false Christs who come and say that I am he. And you're going to hear all kinds of things being said. Don't be led astray. You see, and that's really a form of withdrawal, right? Because there are things that we want to hear. And so we tend to believe those just to get out of a particular situation. So, you know, don't be led astray by somebody just going to tell you what you want to hear. All right? Be real about these things. And then secondly, he says, don't be afraid. You're going to hear about these wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of stuff, but do not be afraid. That, again, is another way of withdrawing. Don't do those things, but rather engage in your world. Then he goes and he talks, before I go there, you know, this in itself is help for us, right? That Jesus tells us about these things, as difficult as they are to hear, because what does it mean? It means that God knows about these things. It's not like somehow things have slipped out of God's hands and he's not in control anymore. It's beyond his ability or what he knew was going to happen. No, not at all. Jesus says, you know that these things are happening. Know that your heavenly Father knows about them. And he is going to be there to help you through them. Tremendous words that we would never think that somehow things have gotten beyond God and his help. Now we can go to the persecutions that Jesus was talking about. And again, he said, they are going to come for sure, but I'm not going to abandon you. I will be with you, and I will even give you the words to say. You know, don't worry ahead of time what you're going to say, because you can just never plan those things out. But I will give you the words in order to speak on my behalf, and this will be an opportunity for you to be my witnesses. But perhaps the most encouraging words come in verses 17 and 18. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. Hear what Jesus is saying. Yes, the persecutions are going to come. Yes, difficult times are going to come. Yes, those will bring possibly bodily harm on you. You may even lose your life. But Jesus promises, even if those things should happen to you in this world, not a hair of your head will perish. He's going to take care of you. And he will bring you all through all of these things. And he has an eternal life for you. Not a hair on your head will perish. Now again, although Jesus is speaking directly to the first century circumstances and how God is going to help his disciples who go through that thing in the first century, nonetheless, it applies to us too by typology, which we've already talked about. So just as those events in the first century are going to be typical of things that will happen later, not just in the end, but also in that period between, so to the help that God gives or gave to his church in the first century, he also gives to us. That is typical of what God will do for us as well in the world in which we live. The same kind of thing is going on in our epistle reading for today when the Apostle Paul is talking about the idleness of some of the Christians in Thessalonica. You know, they have withdrawn. And they pull back. And Paul says, this is not the way that we wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the way that we go about doing it. Instead, you are to engage in the world. Keep working. Keep doing good. Keep serving one another. Don't give up doing those things. Work and earn a living for yourself in order that you might also be a blessing to other people. Perhaps you have heard Martin Luther's very famous quote about this. He's picking up on the Apostle Paul's words. And he said, you know, if I knew that Jesus was coming tomorrow, I would plant a tree today. Yeah, you've heard that. It's a great one. It just captures this whole thing, right? Because for Martin Luther, he said, you know, it doesn't matter when he's coming. I am always going to do that which is good and that is right. I'm always going to be serving God. And I'm always going to be seeking to make this place better. So even if the world ends tomorrow, I'm going to plant a tree today. That's Paul's encouragement to us. And then we go to our Old Testament reading. And again, it's talking about the same kind of thing. If you listen carefully. Now, Malachi starts out by talking about that fearful day of the coming of the Lord. And he said it's going to be a dreadful and a terrible day for the wicked, for those who ignore and oppose God. They're going to be held accountable. And it's going to be an awful day. But then Malachi is very quick to say, but for those who love the Lord and serve him, it's going to be a day of healing. The Son of Righteousness will come with healing in his wings. You hear that? It's going to be a day of healing so that all of the distress that we have experienced will be taken away and healed. But the important thing for us today then is it gets down to, again, how do you respond? What do you do? And so Malachi says, and remember, Malachi is the last prophet of the Old Testament, and there's going to be 400 years until Christ comes. How do you wait? What do you do? And Malachi says, on the one hand, you remember. Remember the commands that the Lord has given to you through Moses the prophet. Remember those. Live them. And remembering is not just a mental exercise. That's not what that word implies in the Old Testament. It means living it. To remember it means to do it. All right? So you're living God's commands. And then he also says, look forward to the Elijah to come, which we understand was John the Baptist. And so they're looking for what God is doing. And there's the application for us. This is how we respond. Again, it sounds like engagement, right? Because it is. You live the commands of God and you look for what God is doing in the world. So, summing it all up, what do we do? How do we respond? We don't withdraw. That's pretty clear. It is not for us to put down our head, put the blinders on, and just kind of plow ahead, ignoring everything. Certainly not. We don't go into hiding. And yes, let's acknowledge that the reading that we had today was difficult to hear all of those things. And maybe we just didn't even want to hear it as we were, it was being read. But you see, again, that would be withdrawal. And so Jesus places this before our eyes. And he tells us the reality of the world in which we live in. And sometimes it's going to be very difficult. But the idea here is that we don't get caught up in all of that violence and the terrible times of this world, but rather we see through it. We don't get stuck at it, but we see through it to the coming of Jesus. Again, hear what Jesus said. When you see these things begin to take place, when they're right before your eyes, straighten up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. See through the difficulties of this world to see your God coming to you. In Jesus' name, amen.